on Fridays in Lent, there's a special emphasis on the Passion. This is certainly true in today's readings, which are both accounts of terrible suffering. You can tell that we are a long way from the mountain of the Transfiguration, that vision of beauty and glory. Now we're looking at the opposite, the depravity of the human family. In the Gospel, it's the parable of the wicked tenants who go so far as to kill the son of the landowner, thinking that they will gain possession of the vineyard. And then in the first reading, it's the story of the sons of Jacob who turn against their own brother, Joseph. Now, we know, because we know the Christian message, that Jesus is the Son of God, Son of the vineyard owner, Son of the Father. And he came and he was treated badly by the tenants, that's us. But we also know that he, after being brutally killed, he rose from the dead. He was victorious over death. That doesn't come out in the parable here. The parable, as far as Jesus explains it clearly, is the last thing that happens to the son is that he gets killed. And then the tenants, it seems, are going to be treated badly themselves. There is a hint, though, that there's more to the story than simply the death of the son. Jesus pulls out a rather obscure scripture. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. It's a hint of the resurrection. You see, the parable ends with the son being killed, but that's not the end of the story, really. The stone which the builders rejected, the son who is killed, becomes the cornerstone. He rises from the dead and becomes the foundation of a whole new order. So the hint is, God is not defeated by man's evil. God's plan for our glorification, which we saw on the mountain of the Transfiguration, is not defeated by the ugliness of man's sin. This comes out perhaps more clearly in the story of Joseph. And I'd like to spend a little time with Joseph. I'm talking about the Old Testament Joseph, the patriarch Joseph. And part of the reason why I want to spend more time with him is because we're in the year of Saint Joseph, and there's a connection between the Joseph of the New Testament, whom we honor this year, and the Joseph of the Old Testament. This is one of the few readings that we have, I think it's the only reading we have in Lent that mentions the Old Testament Joseph. So it's an opportunity for us to ponder a bit of the Joseph story. If you ask the modern scripture scholars, they will say there's no connection between the two Josephs. They just happen to have the same name. That's not our approach, certainly not the approach of Father Francis. And it's not the approach of the fathers of the church either, who, in pondering the scriptures, see lots of connections. Joseph of the Old Testament was a dreamer. Saint Joseph is famous for the dreams. Joseph of the Old Testament was chaste. You know the story of the wife of his boss tried to seduce him, and he resisted. Joseph of the New Testament is Joseph, Saint Joseph, most chaste. Joseph of the Old Testament is a chosen instrument for his brothers, for the chosen people. And Saint Joseph is certainly a chosen instrument as well. In fact, if you're following the writings of Father Calloway in that book on consecration to Saint Joseph, he points to the role of the patriarch Joseph in gathering grain for the people. You know the story. It doesn't come out in today's first reading. It happens later after Joseph is sold into slavery and he's accused of impropriety with the wife of his boss, and that he's thrown in prison. And eventually, his situation improves, and he is put in charge of all the grain in Egypt. He stores up grain for 7 years, so that in the time of famine, which will be 7 years, there will be grain for the people. And the Pharaoh, the highest authority in Egypt, tells the people, go to Joseph. Go to Joseph. Ite ad Yosef in Latin. The Latin, it's a motto or a little expression you sometimes see in shrines to Saint Joseph. Ite ad Yosef. Go to Joseph. The connection being, Joseph of the Old Testament was in charge of the treasures for the people. He was the guardian of the abundance that was meant for the people. And that is simply a sign of the role that Saint Joseph was given. He was the guardian of the greatest treasure, Jesus himself. Jesus and Mary. He's the guardian, not simply of grain, but of the bread of life, Jesus himself. So it's a fulfillment of that Old Testament image. Now let's look for a moment at what happens in today's selection from the story of Joseph. This is the dark side. Joseph, he has special favor from his father, Jacob, or Israel. His brothers hate him. They hate him so much, they won't greet him. They hate him so much, they want to kill him. What you can see here is a repetition of what we saw in the very first chapters of Genesis, Cain and Abel. Cain hated Abel, and he killed him. Brother killing brother. It's as if after many generations, the human family still has not learned that hatred of one's brother is not the way forward. That is the way of sin, the way of self-destruction and destruction of the human family. Well, the brothers of Joseph are caught in this sin pattern, and they want to kill him, but at the last minute they decide to sell him into slavery. And at the end of the reading, it looks like the victory of evil over good. Joseph is an innocent victim. He didn't do anything. He's thrown into a cistern. He's sold into slavery, and that's the end of him. But if we know the whole story, we know, again, God is not defeated by man's sin. God's plan for good is not overcome by man's plans of evil. So I say that's why the parable today and the first reading today have this same message. If we know the whole story, what looks like the defeat of goodness actually becomes the seed for the destruction of evil. Joseph gets buried in slavery, but he is planted in Egypt, where years later, his brothers are going to come and they will be saved from the famine by Joseph. What we are taught here is the marvel of God's way of overcoming evil. He doesn't do it the way we think he should or the way we would. We see evil and we say, let's smash that, let's kill that, let's get rid of that. And that's the reaction of the listeners to the parable. Well, what will the owner of the vineyard do to the tenants? Well, they're going to just go, he's going to go kill them all, bring them to a wretched death. They deserve it. God doesn't do it that way. Instead, he plants in the midst of the evil a hidden source of reversal. He enters right into the problem and undermines it so that a new possibility springs up, all unexpected. Of course, the greatest, the perfect example of this is Jesus himself. Jesus came, like the son in the parable. Why did the father of the vineyard owner send his own son? He already knew these people were murderers. Why did God the Father send his son? He knows that we're murderers. Because this is the way to undo the evil. As I say, to undermine it. Jesus is killed. He's buried in the tomb. Not the end of the story. He's like a seed planted in the underworld, and he overthrows the whole reign of evil. Now, this is important for us to reflect on, because in our life, we spend most of our time experiencing the dark side, the negative experiences of sin. We don't see God at work much of the time. We see evil looking victorious. So we have to let these accounts of what God is really doing sink into our hearts so that we won't get discouraged when we see evil looking victorious. I don't have to explain the apparent victory of evil. It's all over the place. Just look up any news story or any political situation or any social situation or practically any family, and you'll see what looks like evil reigning over the innocent and victimizing the innocent. And it is terrible. No doubt it's terrible. But God is not defeated by that. It's the whole point. God is not defeated by evil. He's in the middle of it all. He's underneath it all, working to reverse it. What we need to do here is remain faithful. Cling to what is solid and true. Not to the appearances of the victory of evil. Cling to what we know is true. The goodness of God. The mercy of God. The power of God. The victory of God. We are to be like Joseph. The patriarch Joseph, he just had to suffer through it and watch God work. Watch God work out this reversal eventually. We ask our patron, Saint Joseph, protector of the Anawim, to watch over us as we pass through this valley of tears, to help us put our trust in the great treasure which he is protecting, which he guards and makes available to us, the treasure of life in Christ Jesus.